Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 7. I hope you have a bookmark there or some way that you're marking that passage as we continue to walk through it in our sermon series entitled The Narrow Way. The Narrow Way. And today we reach a one-verse proverb taught by Jesus called the Golden Rule. So let's read it out loud. I'll read it and ask you to listen silently and meditatively as you hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The word of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, for your blessed word, we praise you. For the word incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again, and is coming again in power and glory, we honor you. And for his pristine sermon upon that mount, we exalt your name and pray that the words would ring in our minds daily and inspire our hearts, guiding our conduct, leading us homeward to that final joyful gathering. We humbly pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And let us say, amen. Said an astronomy professor to a theology professor, religion boils down to one and only one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the golden rule. Said the theology professor to the astronomy professor. Well, I guess that's true if astronomy boils down to twinkle, twinkle, little star. But yes, the golden rule. The golden rule. It's probably the most universally praised teaching of our Lord Jesus. It has been called many worthy epitaphs. It's been called the peak of social ethics. It has been called the Mount Everest of all moral teaching. It has been called a blueprint for world peace. I remember it because it truly was one of the first rules I learned in kindergarten. And I loved my teachers in kindergarten and in first grade. I remember learning well in elementary school, do to others what you would have them do to you. But then I grew older, you know, second grade. And thereafter each year. And I realized, you know, the world operates by a different version of this rule I was faithfully taught in kindergarten and first grade. It's a very different version, sometimes even a diabolical version. Let me give you a few. First, I learned the rule of retaliation. Do to others whatever they do to you. Then I learned the rule of preemptive strike. Do to others before they do it to you. And then I learned the rule of nepotism. Do good to others only if they are related to you. What happened to the golden rule? I wondered, even as a child. I fear the golden rule has fallen upon hard times. In fact, a number of years ago, a very famous astronomer and physicist and a noted atheist by the name of Carl Sagan wrote this fascinating essay. Don't flash the screen just yet, because that's my punchline. Thank you. All right. Because I got to set it up, and I knew it was going to happen. I'm sorry, slide people. I should have told you. There, let me say the punchline. This is an essay he wrote in a book. If you know him, it's funny. It's called Billions and Billions is the name of his book. And it's called The Rules of the Game. And there he decided to use game theory to test the usefulness of the golden rule, which he doubted. He described this round robin tournament at none other than the University of Michigan. It measured when computers used the golden rule in playing games against each other. And now here's the punchline. You can flash it up. Sagan found that those who used the golden rule always lost the game. Always lost the game. Now, some of you are saying, well, of course, Pastor, in games and sports, you can't do the golden rule. But the rest of life, you sure can. And dear church, I want to say there are many pressures in life just as intense as in a game to make you abandon the golden rule. And so we should never, as believers in Jesus, abandon his rule. So today we're going to talk about why the golden rule is so golden. First, the golden rule is golden because it shows our need for Jesus Christ. And any rule that shows our need for Jesus Christ is golden. It shows us actually how much divine help you need in life. Life is not easy. You can't just traipse around and expect to do well. You need help. It is not easy to live a godly life. And that, in fact, is the first objection to the golden rule. Do you realize that? The first objection to the golden rule is that it's just too hard to follow. It's too hard to follow. The cost is too high to pay. And for that reason, the golden rule falls into those category of rules that it is frequently praised and rarely practiced. Jesus actually toughens up the golden rule in his version of the golden rule. That's right. Did you know long before Jesus, there were other great moral and religious teachers teaching the golden rule? That's right. It's been taught for thousands of years in one form or another. But can I interrupt by saying this? What is most fascinating is this. Most of the major world religions teach the golden rule in its negative form. Do not do to others what you don't want done to you. For example, in Hinduism, it teaches this is the sum of duty. Do nothing to others which, if done to you, would cause you pain. Or in Buddhism, it teaches hurt not others with that which pains yourself. Or in the Jewish tradition, what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow men. This is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. But you know what our Lord Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount? He takes their silver rule and turns it into a golden rule. He teaches the positive form. He teaches the positive form. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now think with me about this for a minute. The other rules forbid you from doing something negative to others, and that's great. It's a silver thing to do. The rule Jesus gives us requires you to do something positive for others, which is golden. Now I want you to think about it. If you lived by the silver rule only, that is, not to harm someone, perhaps by the phrase, do no evil. Do no evil. Do no harm. Do no harm. You know, all you would need to do to fulfill that rule is nothing. Nothing. Just stay home. Stay out of the way of us. Just stay home. Do no harm. However, if you are required to do the golden rule, and to actively seek your neighbor, find your neighbor, and do something good for your neighbor that you would want done to you. Well, that opens up a whole new world, a whole new lifetime. You now have a lifetime of stuff to do. A full life awaits you. Scholars do agree that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus intensified God's law on the Sermon on the Mount. He took Moses and he just poked even harder. Jesus pushed the rule from hard to harder. The silver rule to golden rule. He switched from passive to active, for doing it only to your friends and family to actually doing it to your enemy. That's Jesus. And that's all over the Sermon on the Mount. Now back to our point, dear church, in effect, Jesus made do unto others undoable. Undoable. At least in your own fallen strength. You see, the golden rule is something that you cannot achieve in your own fallen strength, your own human willpower. You just can't do it. In fact, listen to me, because it's a little tricky about what I'm going to say. Our inability to keep the golden rule is the only condition by which we can one day keep the golden rule. It has paradox built within it. Let me explain. The first job of the golden rule is to break you. Its job is to break you, and then it convicts you. You then experience how much you like it when it's done to you, and how much you're okay with doing it to others if it doesn't cost you too much. And then you realize, but if it really costs me too much, I'm not doing it. That is when you must abandon yourself and realize you need a resource far greater than your native soul. In a nutshell, the golden rule shows us our need for God's grace through Jesus Christ. That golden rule is only going to hit the golden road with you by grace. By grace. So you see, dear church, when you repent of your sin, your failure to keep the golden rule, when you come face to face that you love the rule when given to you, but not when you've got to do it at a cost, when you finally come to the end of your rope and you cry out to God in grace and say, I repent, save me, Jesus, he will. You will find this divine resource within you, the Holy Spirit, to actually day by day grow in the golden rule. So yes, that's why I like the golden rule. As a minister of the gospel, it helps me urge you to turn to Jesus because you know you can't keep it. You know how good it feels when you receive it, but you know within you is a fault line, a failure line by which you will not do it at a certain level. And you need Christ. You need the fullness of the divine Christ within you, overflowing, doing amazing golden rules. Now, the second reason the golden rule is so golden and you ought not to abandon it when game theory tells you to do so is that it can utterly transform human society. Now, think with me for a minute. If on the way to church this morning you found yourself in a car accident, would you want people to just drive by? Or would you want them to stop? Somebody, please help me. Golden rule. If you're working and you hit your thumb with a hammer, do you want your coworkers to laugh? Or do you want them to offer you a Band-Aid? If you are starving in a war-torn nation and you're hungry, do you want the rest of the world to go out and buy more plasma screen TVs or donate to charity to feed you? Suppose for a moment if in human society a vast majority said, with God's help, we will try to live the golden rule every day, starting today. Can you imagine what your neighborhood would look like? Can you imagine what our city streets would look like, our community, our state, our nation, our world? Massive national problems disappearing overnight, people scratching their heads saying, how? The golden rule. That's the benefit of the golden rule. It actually shows us what the new society will one day look like. The new society under the kingdom and reign of God through the kingship of Jesus Christ. And it tells us what it can look like today in this present evil age as the kingdom spreads from heart to heart to heart to heart until that final day when the new kingdom is consummated. The golden rule shows you what that society will look like. Now, for me as a pastor in the year 2025, I would say there's something that really excites me about the golden rule. I want to share it with you. And it's something that excites me about the golden rule in our generation here in our own locale. And that is that the golden rule is truly needed today to promote peace and stability in a very divided America. A very divided America. Think about it. The Bible gives us these beautiful commands in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says, make it every ambition to lead a quiet life in all godliness. In Romans chapter 12, 18, it says, hey, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Well, how are you going to do that when society is so divided? You know, maybe you live next to a neighbor whose religion is not yours, and yours is not theirs. Maybe you live next to people whose politics are so different than yours, and you scratch your heads at one another. Or maybe their ethnicity and their traditions so different than your ethnicity and your traditions. How are you supposed to live at peace with your neighbor when you find you have less and less and less in common than you can remember in your entire lifetime? I'll tell you the answer. The golden rule. The golden rule will rescue you. Treat your neighbor the way you would want to be treated if you were in their shoes. All right, let me help you a little bit further. Let's say today you go home from church, had a great day. I hope you have a great day at church. Hope you have a wonderful morning at church. I hope you go home and you hit the driveway, and maybe this has happened to you, but you hit the driveway, you come home, and suddenly there's a situation going with your neighbor. Something happens. I'm not even going to describe the detail. You just pick something. There is a situation going. And you drive right into it. Your happy Sunday morning interrupted by some crazy situation with your neighbor, and you don't know what to do. You're getting out of the car, and there's something happening between you and your neighbor right there on the spot. You don't have time to ask a friend. You don't have time to ask your pastor, Pastor, what would you do? You don't have time to read a book. Stop, freeze. I need to read a book. I need to read a blog. I need to listen to a podcast for 2 hours, and then we'll resume it, and I'll make my decision. You can't do any of those. You got to decide now. What are you going to do? Golden rule. You pull that out of your toolbox right on the spot, your holster right there. Pull out the golden rule. And whatever this is, I won't even tell you, I don't even know what your situation is with your neighbor. I'm just telling you, pull it out and do to your neighbor as you would have them do to you. Now, I will say at this time, the golden rule, it's not the silver bullet. Right, there's some gaps in the golden rule. It's not everything. It sums up the law and the prophets, but it's not the law and the prophets in detail. And so there are some times that you're going to struggle with how do I apply the golden rule in a heated situation. Christians cannot always treat their neighbor in the way their neighbor desires. Remember, the verse says to treat your neighbor in the way we would want to be treated if we were them. And there's a big difference between that and treat your neighbor in the way they want to be treated. right? That's where the dispute often occurs, right? It gets a little tricky. You are to place yourself in your neighbor's shoes with empathy, but you can't forget that you're a Christian while you do so. You cannot lose your salt and your light as you're obeying the golden rule. You cannot conform to the world, neither the things of the world, as you obey the golden rule. So there are some situations where Christians, because we're Christians, cannot treat people in the way they want to be treated. You cannot treat an addict in the way the addict wants you to treat them. Give me more substance. However, don't give up. Don't throw in the hat. Don't just like, oh no, what do I do? Look, use your sanctified common sense, retain your basic trust in Jesus, and ask this question: if I were them, how would I want to be treated, and what do I really need? Keep your Christian thinking cap on, and the Lord will help you. He will help you. And it can be so different, like even how you and I apply the golden rule. Your gold may look a little a different hue than my gold. As we apply the golden rule, sometimes that means you will need to pause, and maybe that neighbor needs encouragement and help. So sometimes we encourage and help our neighbor. They're just worked up and they're mad, and you just, hey, can I help? Other times you need to inform your neighbor and teach them something. Oh, no, that's not the case. Let me explain. Still other times you need to rebuke your neighbor about the error of their ways. Look, this is a boundary. You need to stop right now. For the health of everybody, let's take a time out. I remember in seminary, Lynn and I took a counseling class together, and we fell in love with a Bible passage that our counseling professor used to help us addressing the variety of needs of people. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and Paul gives various possibilities that a good Christian can pursue. He says, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. You see, there are endless numbers of possibilities how you can apply the golden rule. You may rebuke, you may correct, you may help, you may encourage, but always do it with patience. What a wonderful world this would be if we could master our engagement with others in this way. Now, for the last point of the sermon, I'm excited because it's about church life. The final point of the golden rule. The golden rule is so golden because, here it is, it brings Christians together. Isn't that why we're here this morning? All right, to be brought closer together. Now, let me explain the context of Matthew 7. Reminder, in Matthew chapter 7, it's all about our horizontal relationships with one another, walking the narrow way on the path with others. In chapter 6, it was all about our divine vertical relationship, our inner life of faith, our piety, our praying, our fasting, our almsgiving. But now in chapter 7, it's more about our horizontal relationships with each other. And Jesus has been telling us how to get along. Don't judge each other, right? But also don't throw pearl before swine. If people aren't listening, just don't waste your breath. But that requires prayer. Jesus has taught us about asking, seeking, knocking. Today, he tells us the golden rule, how to improve our relations with one another. And what do we learn? First, the golden rule requires us to always think about the needs of our fellow Christian. Think. You actually cannot obey this golden rule without thinking a little bit, without measuring the needs of the people around you, paying attention when you gather. Let's say today you leave worship service. I hope you're blessed by the service today. Have I said that enough? Man, we work so hard to serve the Lord in this way and to be a blessing to God's people, and I hope you leave blessed. Even if you're mad, I hope you're blessed. But let's say you leave the service today, you know, and Pastor went a little long. Sometimes I do that. I've been working on it with the elders. They help me. And so you leave and you really would like to go home. Like you did your hour 15. And you see in the hallway a young mother with three little children wrapping her up. You can't ignore her, can you? Should you? So, you know, your mind instantly, even if it's for a split second, you're measuring, I got to evaluate what's going on here. And you must ask a question now. You must ask, what would I want someone to do for me if I was her? The most powerful question. Or let's say you notice a guest today at Cedar Church. You've never met them before. Maybe you have seen them, but you never talked to them. And so you notice nobody's talking to them and they're alone. And you might ask yourself, hey, what would I want someone to do for me if I was alone? You see how you have to look around at one another's needs. And when you do so, this is where a beautiful thing Paul talks about happens, the dividing wall between our families of origin and our ethnicities and our upbringings, that natural wall of division goes down. Golden Rule does that. It removes the natural walls. We all walk into church with walls. And I don't mean always bad walls. They're just normal walls. My skin is a wall. Your skin is a wall. Your family of origin, your work life, your background, your week, different than my week, different than, you walk in with walls and the walls will stay until you think Golden Rule. And it just, it comes down. Can I help you? Doesn't it feel good to hear those words? Like, can I help you? Are you, do you need something? I'm getting excited just saying it. It feels so good to hear the word and to say the word. Can I help you? Secondly, the golden rule. Now this is fun. This is what I find makes church life very interesting over these many decades. The golden rule, listen y'all, requires us to respect the personalities of our fellow Christians. Yeah. That will bring us closer together as we try to apply the golden rule based on their needs and their personalities. Let me say to you from these words of George Bernard Shaw. He said, do not do unto others as you would have them do to you. Their tastes may not be the same. Now, there's some truth to that, isn't there? Sometimes like, well, I'm here to improve your tastes. No. You see, you and I must not rigidly apply, well, do to them what I would want done to me. And well, I'm an engineer. Sorry, engineers. I love the engineers. I've hung out with engineers for decades. They're just so much fun to poke fun at. But they're like, hey, there's an artist over there. I'll go treat the artist the way an engineer would want to be treated. Yeah, that's going to work. I'm a man. I see a lady. I'll treat her the way any man would like to be. Stop. I won't even, don't even finish that sentence. Yeah, you see, do not rigidly project yourself upon the needs of others. We must imagine what it is like to be in their shoes. You cannot be them. That's fine. You're not asked to be them. Just imagine. Imagine. In their exact situation. And then reach out to serve them in that situation. And you will find when this happens, you're closer. The artist might start liking engineers. And the engineer might start liking the artsy types. Like, it's shocking how much pleasure there is in human connection. In fact, sometimes different people spice it up even better. And then finally, final point of our final point in the sermon today, the golden rule helps us grow closer to God together. You actually need your neighbor to grow closer to God. You see, Jesus has this phrase in verse 12, when we obey the golden rule, Jesus says, this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule, this is the law and the prophets. In other words, this phrase sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, when golden rule behavior is on display, it is a one-sentence summary of the entire law of God. Now, this is interesting because Jesus has used this phrase, sums up the law and the prophets, multiple times. For example, when he teaches the golden rule, or rather, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. This sums up the law and the prophets. Well, which one is it? Is it love God, love your neighbor, the golden rule, Jesus? What sums up the law and the prophets? Well, the answer is both. Here's your phrase. Love for neighbor is visible proof that we love God. Now think about it. We're here loving God in this room, but I can't see in your soul. You can't see in my soul. Like, love for God is very internal, isn't it? It's spiritual. It's my soul communing with the Spirit of God. It's something that often is not visible until you love someone on the outside, and then it spills. And this is why it sums up the law and the prophets. It becomes visible. Love for God becomes visible in love for neighbor. And so what that means is, as you and I, as God's people in his church, practice the golden rule. Let's just say we practice it today. Say all of us try it this morning. You know, give it a thought. Okay, I'm going to try the golden special moment this morning. So we all do it. Suddenly, crazy stuff starts happening, right? You're like, man, church was so great today. I feel so good. I don't know why. You know, like, I feel good. They feel good. Like, this is so incredible. It's suddenly we grow in the golden rule, and it becomes a testimony that God is in this place, because it is God's love made manifest in the flesh, in people. When the golden rule occurs in a church, you can tell Jesus is there. Jesus Christ is there. His word is honored. You can tell the Spirit is there. We're in submission to the Spirit, placing the will of the Spirit above our wills. My will says, I want to work on me. My will says, I want the Trinity of me, myself, and I. And the Holy Spirit guides you to the golden rule. And so as you and I grow closer to one another in the golden rule, you will grow nearer to the Lord. John Calvin once wrote these words. He said, God is invisible, but he represents himself to us in the brethren. And in their person, he demands what is due unto himself. So let's love God by golden ruling one another. All right, well, let's close. That's why I love the golden rule, and I hope you do too, and I hope because, in conclusion, it is a quick and simple summary of God's law. Okay, so this is what you're going to take with you tomorrow morning when you get up and you're maybe a little cranky, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Right, you all do that on Mondays like me, right? We good there? Yeah, you wake up, you go to work, you go to school, go to your neighbor, and something's thrust upon you, and you need a quick word from the Lord. You got it right here. This beautiful, simple proverb. It actually summarizes thousands of scriptures in one phrase. And today, Jesus has relieved you of the burden of memorizing thousands of scriptures and summarizing them and a simple proverb. And as you struggle with this, because you'll probably, like me, you're going to struggle and you're going to crash, you're going to burn, and that's necessary. Get you on your knees, you confess, you pray, you grow It's like the golden rule looks a little bit like this in life. It's like this, you know, just like that. And you're hoping to get really up there. And then hopefully by Pastor Mick's age right there, some of you young people are there and you just, I'll never get to there. No, you won't in a year. But through this constant process of allowing it to convict, to repent, to believe, and to thrust forward in the power of the Spirit, God will give you grace to treat others the way you want to be treated. Let all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your word. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus, the Word incarnate. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for both the complex doctrines of the faith and the simple proverbs of the faith. And Lord, we do pray for God's people here in this locale and in the church universal around the globe, wherever God's people face adversity and are tempted to abandon the rules of the game, to come out ahead when we come out behind. Teach us to repent and believe in Christ and his golden rule. May that touch our marriage today and our family life, our friendships, our work life, our church life, and all of society. We pray this truth upon your church here in this continent and around the continents of the earth. Lord God, have mercy and grant your Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen.